Welcome to The Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome and good morning, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Hour of Truth again here. They let us back on the air. I don't know. It's a severe lapse in judgment, huh? I have Philip Walthall here on my right and Brad Capshaw on my right. And James Huesler's on maneuvers or something there, out in left field.
From my understanding, he's helping somebody out with a trailer, and he's like in South Carolina right now, as a matter of fact. But he's not our way. I think he's up north on that way. It'll be hard for me. It'd be tempting to go by Coney State Park and go fishing there. And this time, I bet you that thing's loaded
That's
up.
That's perfect outside.
I don't know what it's like up right now there. But
it's probably cooler in the upstate.
Well, praise the Lord. I did not catch last service there with the Rick there. Paul, did you hear some of that that went through there?
I heard some of it. He was in Jude.
Oh. They terminated the show with a little Keith Green. I always like Keith Green. Awesome.
Did you listen to some of it, Brad?
I didn't. I was over there planning lunch with my honey pie.
I hear you.
And listening to Edmund with a chainsaw and getting all happy. It doesn't take much. Well, I'll tell you where I went. You know, we were talking about salvation by grace through faith and the fact that it's Christ's faith, which is an enormous comfort if you can really lay hold on that. Because like you were saying, Phil, our faith wavers like the wind, you know. And I had made reference to a scripture I've got written onto my pegboard in my very studly tool shed back there on the backside of the barn. So I'm in Colossians 3, and if you're all right with it, I'll read a couple of verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And that is the pathway to, when we talk about peace, how about satisfaction? Because, you know, we have realized, like in AA, they said we can't manage our own affairs, and we've looked to the resurrected King of Glory to help us get through this life and into the next. And this verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, I have found to be a real keynote, you know, in pursuing that. Because in myself, I would have a big 401k and paid off mortgage and on. I mean, all the normal conservative track of keeping things right in this life. But I have been there, and it didn't work. So now I've chosen a different path. But that said, sometimes, like, you know, things get a little rattled on the inside. I tend to run back home to mama, which is, you know, what I knew, what I know, and that's the fleshly stuff. But that right there, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what I'm shooting for. And I know that that is a huge part of the pathway to not just peace, but satisfaction, you know, on this side of the grave. You want to dive in there?
It's a decision.
Yeah, it's a decision.
Gail says they were talking about coming together, unity of the faith, and unity of message, unity of the spirit. Rick was talking about that. Started out in 1 Corinthians 1 and then went over to Jude.
Now, where was he at in Jude? Like I said, I didn't catch his message.
It's only like 25 verses. I don't know. It's in one of those 25 verses.
Well, Paul, one thing that you said was, and there's, you're, and Brad, you're talking about set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And you were kind of giving an example of how what you did as far as looked on things of the earth to for your stability and these kinds of things. And
Right things in the eyes of the world.
In the eyes of the world, they're not right things, but they're in the eyes of the world. And where you were holding your, you know, where you were kind of holding your safety at was in your money and
stability in general.
Right, exactly. And one of the things is saying that that hasn't worked out, and that's not the way. And to set your affections on something else. And Paul, one of the things that you said in that was that it's a choice in the midst of that thing, and that's. That's really what it comes down to. One of the things we talked about, I know, in our message is the choice that we have to trust Him and believe Him. Because if we trust Him and believe Him, we're going to submit unto Him and receive Him. And it's really, really a choice at hand. And that is very, very true.
I know early on, you know, in Rick's living room, this is reaching back a few years, Paul used to just, get under my skin with that. You would say it was a really common thing. Well, it's a choice. Well, it's a choice. somehow, I thought the Lord was just going to miracle my narrow tushy into wherever I was supposed to be. But and I mean, it is miraculous, right? I mean, it's the work of the Spirit. But it is a choice, and it's a lot of choices. And it's like I skipped over those verses in Romans because I'm not fluent in predestination. And I didn't want to, you know.
That's okay. I like the subject at hand because what you're talking about, it is a choice.
Right.
One of the things is, and you were thought that, what, the God was just going to kind of.
Just miracle me up there.
But what you see happen was when you gave place to your own thinking, your subject to your own way of thinking, what you thought was right and all these things which were not setting your affection.
Not right.
That weren't right. Correct. What happened was as those things fell apart. See, the Lord's a gentleman, okay, in that sense. I mean,
I'm doing a lot of head nodding here for those that can't see me.
It happens with all of us. It happened with me in a different way. But what as those things fall apart and you see that there is no fruit of it, but it all is nothing but contains a mess. And yet when you turn unto the Lord, it is different. And that is the answer, is just turning and choosing to trust and believe God and what He says. It's amazing that you recognize that choice became easier for you to make. But what happened was there was a breaking down of those things you held those things.
Painful breaking down.
Those things you held stock in. Not that you couldn't have made that choice beforehand. And it
yeah.
not be as painful. That's not the case. Yeah. However, how you got there, you know, praise God. And there still are things that that are highlighted to let go. Man, that's not of the Lord. I mean, and I'm choosing this route, and that's not the right route to go, and to let go of that, and then take upon His way. But it's when we see, okay, it's easier to make that choice when we see what we have that we're holding stock in is not worth anything.
And it doesn't have to be the hard way to get there. It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It just usually is.
but when you see that is nothing, and you choose Christ, I mean, you see that choosing Christ is always the right way in that sense. But that's
there's an old saying, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And so on that track you just described, I mean, hey, my story is my story. That's what I know. So that's my testimony. But I came into the fellowship, you know, in Rick's living room, and I got introduced to some ideas that were so far off from what I understood. I remember telling Rick one time, well, that's fantasy. That's local stuff, you know. And that hard road, because you're saying the Lord's a gentleman. The Lord loves us charitably, you know, agape. And as I was introduced to the truth, things started getting stripped away. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but things that had worked weren't working. It hurt. And, oh, and that's what I was thinking when Paul hit in Romans 8. I went across the verses on predestination because I have just enough sense not to wade into something like that behind a pulpit. But, you know, Paul was saying these blessings are there for us, but there's a track to get to them. And that track is the predestinated apostles. Well, the apostles, prophets, and so forth down the line. In that instance, he was talking about the predestinated. And that was just the most foreign, odd thing to me, you know. It was really, really hard. Really, really hard to get a hold of. Now I know through several years, multiple years of experience, I know that works. And with that, because I know it works, it is, I would say, in the process of freeing me to set my affections on things above, the things I can't see.
I mean, as you're speaking, I mean, I can just see clearly the time the truth got introduced. You,
oh yeah,
praying for somebody to give you truth. Truth came. You rejected the truth. Things fell apart. You realized you turned back unto the Lord, and what things happened and started coming back together again. And he just right. manifested himself his way in his word and his truth to you in that sense. To the place where you could receive it, okay? And then it was at that place where things broke down, fell apart, then you could actually receive that truth. Still hung on to some things, but then the more that the truth came across your plate, the more you receive that truth. That means to agree and to submit to. I just want to clarify that.
And
agree and to submit to. The more things opened up and you knew that was the truth, and that faith of Christ starts to become more manifest in you, and you can see the face of Christ, the faith of Christ working in you.
When I'd hit some of those bumps, sometimes I would call Scotty Stevens. You know how you just click with people sometimes? He's just kind of easy to hang out with for me. And you can agree with something, and you can submit to something that you don't really have a handle on. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's like the cart gets in front of the horse a little bit. It is possible to hear something and say, I don't get it. I trust the man or the woman bringing it to me. It seems to line up with the Word of God. I'm going to submit to it. And in the doing of it, somewhat on the back side of it, then the light goes on. You follow? So to trust the people over you is not so easy. But that is part of that pathway.
It becomes easy because you recognize that that is a way being presented for you, for your good and for his manifestation into you to go forward to accomplish his will. It becomes one of those things that you're like, praise God, when you get news, when you get resolution. When I heard that advice, for an example, for the work, I said, man, praise God, yeah, I was excited.
So you knew when Steve told you, and you never elaborated on what the advice was, but you knew when you heard it, this was right.
Oh, when I heard, absolutely. I said, that was awesome. That's awesome. Well, two things. I mean, it was actually like three things that happened just in the past month of advice of things that were I was struggling with, and it was just awesome. And I knew, and except when I went to go do this, okay, I knew that it would be good. Now, times you could take it back, I don't know, 3 years, and say, and maybe he would have told me that, and I might have been like, I don't know if that was going to work, but I'll try it.
And that is okay. Trust.
Okay.
You trust the man.
Oh, well, I trust the Lord. And since
you trust the Lord to work through your
disciples. I trust the Lord in Steve, absolutely.
Yes.
Because Steve, that's who the Lord appointed over me, and whether Steve's gone through it or managed my shop or whatever the case may be, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Lord is well able to give Steve the advice that I need to go forward in, okay, and to serve the Lord better. So what happens is I knew when I heard that, I mean, it was music to my ears. We did it the next day. Boom, opened up better than I could ask or think. All right, the advice that he gave me, I said, man, that is awesome. Boom, better than I can expect, or but I expected it to be that which was of the Lord in the direction that I needed to go forward in. Do you understand what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, you so, heard the Word of God. You understood it was the Word of God. I mean, in this instance, it sounds like when you heard it, you went, oh, you know, light goes on.
Right.
Yeah.
Not only that, it just made sense. I mean,
yeah.
I mean it really did. But I share that because what gets increased is that faith of Christ in me is strengthened when I receive and submit unto that way to go forward to accomplish His will. Okay, and so I, you know, it's the perspective, it's not hard. It's actually a relieving thing if you allow it to be.
It should be, yeah.
You know, it's yeah. not. It's not a. It's not a burdensome thing. It's a relief. You know, it's a load off. It's a. It's a thing that a burden gets taken off you, not put on you.
And sometimes go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, at the other times, though, there's been other times where there has been things set for me to go do that I've been like,
no way.
My perspective was. No, I don't want to do that. And I've had those moments where, man, that's too much. I don't see how that's going to work. Many challenges that's came up in the, you know, the past year before that with that, I have been on the other side where it was like
dragging your feet.
Man, I just not something I wanted to do. But when I went engaged and repented, that means changed my mind, turn around and engaged. It was a blessing to me, far above I can ask or think. And I can remember that when she was talking to me that one time, he goes, but look at your family. Isn't that a responsibility? And what greater blessing have you had than that? And there has been.
None.
Absolutely. So it's that He doesn't leave you comfortless. I mean, He does not leave you to where you don't have any way of knowing how to go forward in Him. He has not left you that way. Like Paul was saying, I said Thursday night, He hasn't left you wandering around not knowing which direction to go, which way to go. No, man, we have His Word. We have His way. We have the gifts for the church, the apostles, prophets.
Yeah, I was thinking, He said, I will not leave
evangelists, you. Evangelists, pastors, teachers. I mean, He's given us His Spirit. We've gotten everything we need to go. His faith. I mean, we've got everything we need to go forward. To do that which the Lord would have us do, and be victors in it. Victors, swallowed up, not beaten down, but victors. And even that victory could look like Stephen. Okay, and that's the other thing that you don't know. You don't know the fruit of that. I mean, in the sense when Stephen was martyred there, he was. That was victorious. Okay? That was victorious. In the outside world, it didn't.
No,
it
looked like defeat.
But it still was victorious, yeah. And the carnal look of it looked like defeat. But that wasn't the case at all. It wasn't the case at all.
No. Well, I'm thinking, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that promise was the Holy Spirit, which is given to all believers. And past that, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where that Spirit works in us in power. So that's a great comfort. And then you're talking about being able to go to Steve, in your case, that's who you talk to, and the trust you have with... Try to tie this together, okay? And you could probably untie this knot if I mess it up. But Jesus said, I'll give you comfort through the Spirit. And that comfort comes very, very often through either the Word directly or through the people over you, because when He left us, He gave us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. If we listen to those folks in those offices over us, we benefit. I get that. The kind of downside, I think, for the guys that hold those offices or ladies is the development of that trust may involve the people under them just beating them up pretty bad. And I could say for myself, one of the reasons that I'm not hesitant to call Rick in particular with anything is because I know not just what I put him through, I know what I did to him. You know, I did this guy really, really bad, very deliberately thought out, just really bad. And when it all hit the fan in my world, he opened that door. You know? I mean, I was literally, I guess I could have lived in the truck. I don't know. I was outside. And when the call came through, he said, I won't take you as you are. If you're willing to make that change, that U-turn, repentance that you described, then you're more than welcome here. And I was more than welcome there. You know, they treated me great, like nothing really wretched had ever come their way on from me.
And, you know, it's interesting in that, because I remember talking about one service, I was talking about the love of Christ being shed to me by others. And Steve, I heard Steve talking about it. He had the Sunday, it was after in that service, he's talking about, he's going, as I was telling him about how much the Lord used Rick and Sue to love me with his love.
Oh, yeah.
And how he said, is this the same Rick and Sue that I know?
Yeah, what right.
He said. And it was hilarious at the time that he goes, but it is the same Rick and Sue. And what that shows is the what God is able to do. Okay. What
with a willing heart.
Able to do
Amen.
Through others. What he, even with Rick and Sue, as he says, because he was like, is this the same Rick and Sue? But he's well able. And see, that's why we can trust the faith of him, because he's well able to do that in us to accomplish that will. That will was the will of God, what is love God, love one another.
Right.
Rick, even though you deliberately done him wrong, look, he took it on the cross. He bared the cross, just like Jesus bared the cross for all of us. And
that's
he
right.
was an example of that Christ's love towards you in the midst of that, and what was manifested to you, the love of Christ. And he was pointing at Christ.
And on the backside of that, let's say I did something. You know what? Sometimes you'll screw up in kind of a normal, the normal screw up fashions, you know, whatever we do. But let's say you did something that was off the wall, like, oh my gosh, I know I could call him, or Charlie for that matter. But that level of trust on my end, at least in part, came because the guys over me were willing to take, like, really severe abusive behavior from me, from somebody they love, to establish that trust. And I think likewise for us in the body to have that, it's charity, right? Charity doesn't seek its own. Charity doesn't notice when it's done wrong. Charity's everything we aren't. It's the nature of Jesus himself. To put that charity on, it comes at some price, you know.
Absolutely. But they were also willing to love you enough to tell you the truth.
And still are.
And to tell you the truth, whether you liked it or not. And that's part of that agape love. It vaunteth not itself. See, if it vaunted itself or seeked after itself, it wouldn't say those things to you that would offend you, because that reflects they don't want you to think ill of them, but they don't care. They're about bringing you to the peace, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ.
Even somewhat at their own expense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's been, but, I mean, praise God. But once again, it shows what the Lord is able to do.
And his character. I mean, Jesus said, come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he said of himself that he's meek and lowly in heart. And I need that. You know, I love that. And Paul, this is going to Hebrews. I'm going to need a leg up probably. But, you know, it talks about the anchor within the veil. And I've been counseled that I'm misquoting Scripture, which is why I'm like, Paul, keep me out of the deep end of the pool here. But, you know, in Hebrews, it talks about the anchor that goes within the veil. It talks about a high priest that understands our infirmities. Jesus that took, not only walked as a man, but took our sins on himself. And I can go to the Lord himself with something that I would be. Look, I've done some things that I would bring up in a testimony in a public forum. I've done some things that I would in no wise tell anybody. You know what I'm saying? But I can take that to Christ himself. And like you were saying this morning, he doesn't get disappointed. He knows. He's very well up on who I am or who we all are from the jump. And he remains that high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities and not look down at his nose on us. You know?
Well, why do you think he can give that advice to you, whether somebody was that's giving you the advice has been through that situation or not?
He took that sin on himself. He knows.
Right. And that's why, that's how that works. And that's why he can give Steve the advice that I need to go forward in the thing of right there in the tire shop. He hasn't
Even
ran a tire
Steve
shop.
Had, yeah.
He's managed many things. We haven't ran a tire shop, but can give me that clear advice that I need in my life and my whatever the case may be. And it's not limited to Steve. That's the thing. It's not limited to Steve.
No, it's one spirit. If that spirit's working through the person you're talking to, that spirit's there.
Absolutely. Even an unbeliever.
Yeah, that's a weird thing when it happens, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it happens. I mean, it's interesting. I remember there was a time where I was like, man, you know, we're really trying to hit, you know, a certain number of sales and these kinds of things. And I was like, man, don't look like it's going to be. Look like it ain't going to happen today, is what I said, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then,
you know, here comes Steven. He doesn't came to me. He's not a believer. He doesn't claim to be a believer. And he turns and goes, man, where's your faith at, Phil?
Ouch.
And, no, not ouch. It was a recognition. Yeah, you got a good point. All right, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I think that day we did hit the goal number that we did and above, like 10 tires or whatever the case might be. So not limited to, but being humble enough to hear that. And that humility, once again, is a choice. It is a choice.
You mean the humility to receive the truth from wherever it comes from?
Absolutely.
An unbeliever, Steve, or a talking mule or whatever?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not that I'm saying going and receiving those things, because Jesus also says to what? Beware of the leaven of the what?
The scribes and Pharisees.
The scribes and Pharisees. Or the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees. Forgive me. Of the Pharisees. Because there's rampant false doctrines that lead you away from Christ all the time. And you would be surprised how much of that doctrine is actually in the church, and that's why it makes it so dangerous, because it's one that puts the face of Christ on.
Yeah, you don't hear it when you
really
hear it.
Not true. Okay, and so that's why it's the most dangerous. I mean, when it's secular, at least you know it's secular.
You know what else is kind of hard to stomach? I got, you know, the guy I work for, he wouldn't tell you he's a believer. He's not. And but sometimes he can be so kind and gentle and gracious, you know? He just It shames me somewhat. It's like he's doing it better than I am. No, it's not like he is. You know, I got an unbeliever that I work for that's actually a better example so many times of what I should be than I myself am. It's humbling.
Yeah.
Or humiliating, actually.
Absolutely. But the same thing, the thing that needs to be manifested was not, you know, Rick in that situation. No, that's the love of Christ. And he pointed to Jesus. He's like, I mean, the only reason why I'm here helping you, receiving you, is because of Jesus. All right. Now, I remember him telling me the reason why I can receive you back in, Phil, and take you back in and all these things in this sense is because of what Jesus has done for me. Well, it tells me to.
Right. Yeah,
and it's one of those things. Even with you being a screw up, I mean, you take one of the last thing I said in the service was one of the things I said. Here I am, and everybody that knew me from the past knew that I was an absolute screw up, and would do, you know, dope at lunchtime. I'd volunteer to go get the lunch so I could get the, and come back and, you know, get sent home or whatever. Wasn't allowed to go get lunch anymore. So, I mean, they knew that they know, and that story still goes on today about the owner actually.
You're welcome, but you can't drive the bus.
I mean, Phil, have you been? And anyways, got to it. Funny story. But it goes to show you, and I'm glad that story goes out. I think that's,
to the
that's
honor,
a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and the reason why, not the thing that I did. That's not the case.
No.
But I'm sitting here managing one of the top leading stores in the tire business, and I've been there the shortest. I didn't stick it out. I was on and off. I might have started with some of the guys those did. Those guys been there this whole time. I have not, and I've gotten to the place where I've been. Why?
The grace of God.
The Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And that's it. So what's being manifested there
is
the grace of God. So regardless if it's manifested one way or another, I praise God that the grace of God is being manifest.
And I'm grinning because I'm thinking about these guys that you're describing that have known you since you were a youngster. And they're it's like you're saying, there ain't no freaking way, man. There's got to be. It ain't what this guy is doing. It's got to be the grace of God. I don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
Hey, absolutely, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, bring it on.
Absolutely. And not only that, when they it is different when they I'm still me. Let me put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still me. I'm still Phil and all those things. But it's just the grace. It's just the grace of God. But I am about other things than I was about then.
If it could happen for you and me and Paul and on and on.
It's just an opportunity for others to grab hold on. And I've, quite frankly, had many opportunities to talk with these guys in a sense. Because I remember John coming to me. I've been with this company. So-and-so stole from this company. Look where he's at. I mean, look, I've been with this company. Look where you at. Look what you've done, you know, and all these things. And as he was saying this, and he goes, I don't mean that personally, Phil. I'm frustrated, is what he was telling me. And we were talking one-on-one, and I said, no, I mean, John, it's not. John, it's
this
not.
This fellow feels like he ought to be bumping up, and it's not happening is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. And I said, John, it's not. It has. See, that's where you don't understand where I'm coming from. John, it has nothing to do with me and my capability. It's because I chose Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy has set me up.
You told this guy this at work?
I told him outside work, talking on the phone with him one day after work. And it was actually a time where I was actually chose not to show up and got kicked down to the bottom and was working out at one of these other stores. And I told him, I said, You just turned to him. And it was at that low place I was teaching him. I was telling him about Jesus Christ. It wasn't like I was.
Really? So you're saying you had, like, decided not to go to work. You get thrown out. And then this guy calls you with this question?
No. What happened was I decided not to go to work. They sent me to another store. And
okay.
I was not manager at the other store. I was as a tire guy. I got demoted. Okay, I got demoted all the way down. I mean, praise God. I was just thinking at that position and time and place that grateful I still had a job. Well, it was interesting. I started managing that shop. I started managing that shop, and they put me back at the other shop. But it was during those times that I was down there on those Rivers Avenue stores that I was that I worked with John again, which I didn't work with John in quite a long time. And then we got to be able to talk. Quite a bit about the Lord, and we talked after work and these kinds of things, and I talked to him before on these fronts, but it was at that low time. It was the time after I got demoted. I looked at David, you know, where he fell, you know, in the kingdom. I mean, he had Absalom come in, and the consequence of his action was still at
terrible.
Hand. I mean, praise God. I mean, one thing was I got the advice that I got. I thought I was done and run for it. I mean, one was being told and being reminded that the grace of God has not left me. And that was a huge thing for me to stand back up and get back up again.
The other thing was,
I mean, praise be to God. At least, I mean, I still have a job. I mean, I was just grateful. And I just looked
and
at
you
him
were still and, ministering. In that.
I mean, it was the perfect place for me to also to once again minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all I could say is, John, it's the grace of God, John. And you can have that. I'm not
it's
special.
An all-sufficient grace.
Yeah.
Paul, we're trying to have an adult conversation over here. Would you mind just, like, chilling out? Paul?
What? That's all I can do to make my voice work.
Well, I went to Colossians. That's always a good jumping off for Paul. Out of anything that you love, I know it's a book of Colossians. Yeah.
It was one thing that was interesting I'm going to bring up. I heard Sue, just the blips of what Sue was reading in this morning.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of it.
And she was talking about where those that wait upon the Lord shall renew up, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the mount up with wings and fly as eagles. I'm messing that up, and I wish would that I would say it right. But those that she's talking about, those that wait upon the Lord is not sitting around and waiting for the Lord to
them, right?
To serve them. No, right. It's that we serve Him.
Isaiah 40.
Thank you, Paul. Will you bring it up?
They that wait upon the Lord.
I don't know. Well, I will if I can.
I quoted that verse to a waitress up there in Gatlinburg the other night. That's because this gal was really on her game. Really, they were overloaded. Somebody had called in, and I was explaining to my son, you see what she's doing. You know, she's not intrusive. She's watching. You have what you need when you need it. She's not really talking to you that much. She's very attentively watching to see what you need, and it's there at the point when you want it. He's like, yeah, that's JC. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And she walked up somehow in the middle of that, and I said, yeah, I was just explaining the waitressing technique to my son. I said, you're familiar with that verse in Isaiah, you know, they that wait on the Lord. She clearly wasn't, but said that she was. So it opened a door, you know, for a waitress, which was pretty cool. They that wait, not kick back and look, but you're observing, and you're in it. That's it. That was it.
Yeah, didn't know that I was going to do further. Praise God. I mean, God damn.
Hey, little things.
Absolutely. But key thing.
And I tipped her $10.
Well, the key thing is to remember, and that's a good way to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that was, but kind of going back into what Sue was saying, what do we want to go forward in? You know, why do we want, for an example, certain things? Is it to serve Him? You know, to do that which is according to His will? Do you understand? When I was talking about accomplishing His will, how was I talking about accomplishing His will?
Through submission to His word, to the people over you. That's just typically the way it works.
Yeah, but what is the key opponent in that that drives you to be able to do that?
Help
His
me.
His faith in you.
I'm head nodding, yes. His faith, yeah.
His faith in you. And the reason why I bring that up is because why do we want His faith manifested in us?
Do you want an honest response?
Yeah.
I'm really sick of being unhappy. I mean, I've been walking around in misery for like, I'm 50, coming up on 55. I've been miserable most of my life. I'm just tired of it. But go ahead.
Well, no, but I also see some joyfulness, too, that you've had. And despite what that old man, I've seen joy. I've seen you have a good time. I've seen you in a different place in the past time, actually coming back from Texas, than you were in times past. And I remember you being very unhappy for a period of time. But I see that also starting to change, though, too, Brad. Really have.
And that happens. That whole idea, that clarification that came out in Texas, that it's the faith of Jesus Christ in us, man, when you come up, and I made reference to it today, Pentecostal holiness, Baptists are good for this too, which is weird for a once-saved, always-saved preacher. But Pentecostal holiness, man, you just yank them boots until the straps come off and you can't get it right. But the idea, I can remember praying for people to be healed or praying for things to happen, and it's like I was trying to work myself into some state. Maybe people out there know, or maybe you know, but it's kind of a weird thing. But the idea that it's, yeah, I may have a minimal, I mean, every man has a gift of faith, that's true, unless they've cast it off. But the faith of Jesus Christ is not minimal. And if salvation and righteousness is a gift, then that faith is a solid rock, and that righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. So, yeah, I may be exactly what you see. It doesn't have to hold anything back, not on my behalf or for people
and
I care about.
And all those
about.
Other things were bondage.
Oh, my God!
I mean, all those things were bondage. And the Lord didn't set you to bind you. I mean, as you said before, He was what? He's meek and lowly in heart.
Yeah, come to me. I'll give you rest for your souls. Oh, man.
Absolutely. And He's came to set you free. not tied up in bondage.
And he is setting me free.
He is, absolutely. Where that setting free started to occur was when it was the faith of Jesus Christ. And when it was the faith of Jesus Christ, the other thing that you did, and I don't even know if you realize that you did, was the other thing that you did is you started submitting to that line of authority that he clearly showed you. And what started happening was a better way, and a freedom started coming, and joy started coming back.
And it was kind of way overdue. No, you're right. I was just thinking, you see people in whatever state they're in, they come to Christ. It's never on a good day, right? So things are all hosed up. They come to Christ, and they go through that honeymoon period. And then life progresses, and the Lord wants them to grow up. And it gets kind of tough. I would say any believer I know, if you're seriously following the Lord, you got dry spells and things that come up. But there doesn't... And that's why I went back to Colossians, If you set your affections on things above and you're pursuing the right things, then even though life around you can be pretty messy, it doesn't have to knock you flat in the middle of it. And I've spent way too much time kind of dragging myself around, and I know it doesn't have to be that way. And like you said, you get better understanding, like the faith of Christ in us, and it doesn't have to remain that way. I think I'm beginning to ramble. I'm just going to back out.
Well, one of the things is there is also part of conviction that comes to play with some things, and there's some conviction that comes to play on some things where I have been wrong, and the way that I handled things were wrong, or I did something, or whatever.
Head nodding on this side again. Yeah, absolutely right.
And there's been
for all of us,
and it's different. And condemnation and conviction are two different things. And
conviction leads you in a right way.
Leads you to repentance.
Yes.
To turn around. A condemnation is a thing that's just held over your head.
It beats you down.
And it beats you
down. Takes your strength.
And we could even go to Scripture. And what the Scripture says of condemnation is men loved darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
Because their deeds are evil. But conviction causes you to repent. I mean, there's times, right? I repent a lot. But it doesn't... I don't stay bound up.
Which was another cool thing that Davey brought out in the last week or two about how rapid the forgiveness of God is. You go to... I don't know if you heard that message, but you go to the Lord with sin and... He grants you repentance. That's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We take that leading, we repent, and in that instant, in that moment, like the twinkle of an eye, Lord, I did this, I own up to it, you're right, I'm wrong, and in that moment, it's gone. And especially if you have repetitive sins, like anger or something that you just can't quite seem to get a grip on, and we find ourselves, we fall into that thing again, and there's this disappointment and remorse and kind of like self beating ourselves up. I'll speak for myself. I don't know that other people. And it's this idea like, well, I got to get a couple of good days behind me. If I can walk past this for a while. No, you said, that's it. Lord, I did it. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm not just sorry. I don't want to do this again. I don't know how to not do it again. I'm still the same mess that came to you back in 84 or whenever it was, and in that moment, you don't owe anybody a crappy afternoon just because you just did, or morning or whatever, because you did or didn't do the thing that...
You got to slap your back and say 10 Hail Marys or whatever the case may be.
Can any forbid whips that we flagellate? No. Hey, is that good?
But that's not what... And now those things don't pay the price, and you don't have to, like you said, you don't... And see, that's kind of reverting back to the law. Are you trying to pay for it?
And that's an offense.
It is, because you can't pay for it. He paid the price, and he was the only one that can. And I say you, and I mean you, but I mean the rest of us and whoever's listening.
I started grinning because I was working out here with my oldest, well, not my oldest son, JC, and they did something. I don't remember what he did. And he kind of disappeared for a while. I don't know. So when I found him, he had actually put himself in timeout on the other side of the chapel. And he said, oh, I did this again, so I'm, you know, punishing myself. I said, son, we're not Roman Catholics. We don't do penance. You told me you were sorry. You told the Lord you were sorry. Did you know it ended in that moment? And it's like a light went on.
It
really?
Was over.
Yeah. Yeah, come back over here into the barn and, you know, grab this piece of a carburetor that's still screwed up.
It's done. It's over.
Just like
Absolutely.
That.
Sue did post and what she What's read this say? Morning. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I love that song. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen.
And he sings.
Well, but that's exactly when you're operating in his faith. It's exactly how it goes, and it's an amazing thing.
I'm looking at that verse. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. This is in the spirit. You know, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You can be running the race and doing the right thing and be very physically tired. And you know, I'm looking at Paul here. Paul Muller, and he doesn't feel well. Like night after night, he doesn't feel well. And one of the things we prayed daily is along this line, you know, the wings of eagles, that rest in the spirit. It is possible, and I've had it happen repeatedly, that you can be in a pretty bad state physically and be well lifted up in the spirit. And find joy and peace and the rest. I mean, all those promises are true. If you read down in, it talks about, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Was that in Romans 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got...
counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Yeah, the history of the church is pretty rough. And in the midst of that...
But he says, but I say, nay, we are more than conquerors through Christ.
Exactly. More than conquerors through Christ.
I mean, that's what I was saying with on the outside in. You look at Stephen, that was victory.
It didn't look like victory.
But that's exactly what it was. He went to go be with the Father. God was so moved, Jesus was so moved, that it made him stand up. Because where does he sit? He sits on
the throne.
Right hand, yeah, on the throne of God. And he moved him to the point where he saw Jesus, what? Standing. Because he moved Jesus to the point to stand and to receive him in. And now it's a neat thing. And it was victory. I mean, Stephen went to be with the be with the Father. That was a victorious thing. And not only that, the gospel was preached.
Saul of Tarsus was there.
Yep. The gospel was preached. And, I mean, praise God. I mean, what can you say? And that, you mount up with wings as eagles, it's just like that storm. That was a big storm. People coming after you to kill you. No. With the mounting up as wings, he took those wings, jumped off the side of the man, locked those wings, and he lifted up over the storm.
With forgiveness in his
heart.
That's
exactly what happened with Stephen. He lifted up over the storm. He went to go be with Jesus. And I didn't mean that in the sense because he was victorious. And that's how it is. I mean, no matter what. I mean, you look at David and his run from Saul and all those things. He was victorious.
Yeah.
At the end of his time, what did he know? He knew the gospel, and Jesus showed it to him. And it wasn't, once again, it goes back to how good you've been, how bad you've been.
No.
Because you look at the gospel was shown right after David's, what, screw up.
Yeah, he said something like, if you'll forgive me, I'll teach transgressors in the way.
And that's
an incredible statement.
And I was talking about conviction before. When David came to the Lord, he didn't make excuse. He didn't make justification. He had none. But Christ, in his mercy, in his gospel justify David?
David made it a point in Psalm 51 to say, you know, I did this. You're right. I'm wrong. There is no fault on your side. He began with the justification of the Lord. It came in total humility and received grace, received forgiveness.
Right. He didn't justify himself. The Lord justified him by covering through the innocency of the gospel that was to come. And David received that. And you see David receiving that. But the thing, it wasn't about how wrong David was or right David was or any of those things. No, it was just covered by the blood of the Lamb. It's kind of like that angel of death once it comes over. When he was looking, he wasn't looking how good people were, how bad people were. All he was looking for was what? The blood. And that angel of death came over the camp in Israel, remember? Killing all the firstborn.
Oh, yeah.
He says, do this.
If the blood was on the lintels of the doors, it went by.
And if you believed, and that's where that submission goes, because if you believed God when that was given as direction from the Lord's messenger, and it was the word of God, even though it came out of a man's mouth, it was the word of God.
That's right.
If you believed that and you submitted unto it, you were covered. David believed in Jesus' sacrifice in totality, and he was covered. He believed and trusted him for it. And it's the same with us. We have that covering, and thank you, Lord, for that grace. I mean, amazing grace. I mean, how sweet this sounds.
All right, so we're coming. I actually can't see the clock because it's a little covered there. But
oh, it's 12:52.
I know we're getting toward the back end. So, all right, Philip, you're in my pastoral line, right? And you know me pretty well. So I'm heading into another work week, and the last one wasn't so good, and made some mistakes, and have been a little beat up. So. And I'm going to guess that there's people out there with us in the same state. So if you are going to give me a couple of good pointers for going into the work week, where would you go with that? What do you think?
First, I say we talk after our truth.
Amen.
And find out what's going on, what's their turmoil, and then, you know, we can just go from there. Then, you know, as far as that goes. Because it might just be a simple solution.
Like what Steve gave you.
Right. It could be just a simple solution. But we just need to find out what's going on.
Seeking that pathway of, you know, peace in the midst of trying to set my affections on things above. And I'm not saying I'm like beat to pieces. I'm not.
No, I hear you. I mean, I use that, and I was exaggerating, I think, this morning a little bit about, you know, it's like, man, this thing is so frustrating. Maybe I just want to quit. Thing was very frustrating in that thing, and that frustrating thing, though, what it did was it caused me to reach out to get response and help to handle the situation. And that response, even though that turmoil and that tribulation during that time of running around fixing problems and stuff that just were ridiculous problems and things to fix, was not a fun thing. It caused for a much better way.
So a bad series of things became the jumping off point for a great step forward.
Right.
Because you let it be, because you got on the phone in this instance.
Right. So we just
reached out to the Lord.
Going on?
No, I got no major complaints.
So,
I would say I'll be okay, but, well, yeah, past history being the best predictor of future performance, I don't know. We'll see. Something in the chat, I don't have my bifocals on.
She said, apologize for my lag. Looked up the scripture. I was thinking is the correct way to deal with it when we flop again. But it's amazing once there's a renewing, and just taking that scripture as an example and kind of applying it to what happened with that work and the kind of things that happened there with me was when I took a pawn. To go serve him and to go deal with it how the Lord would have me deal with it. Not with, I'm tired of it and dealing with my own way and just reacting to it.
Yeah, flesh.
But actually going to do it and serve it, that would be a blessing to, one, glorify the Lord. What would the Lord have me do here? You know, what would the Lord have me do here? It was amazing
when it came out of that and that solution, and I went forward to go do it, not just sit back and say, "Oh, that's great advice," and never do it, but went forward to go do it,
and did it.
I was filled with a fire to go after that and to do that, and so was everybody else. You're talking about a renewing of strength. I had a renewing of strength to go forward and the things at hand. It renewed me, absolutely renewed me. We are getting close to that time. But go ahead. What were you about to say?
You got about 2 minutes.
No, I was going to. You talk about being renewed, and that really came through this morning, you know, when you were preaching up there. I could tell. I mean, yeah, I've lived with you. I kind of know you. And I've seen you over the last couple of months, like, I don't ask because it's not my place to ask, but I know you've had something, and that is clearly behind you at this point. And yeah, it's good to see.
I finally chose to sought out some direction to get some turmoil dealt with, and I praise God that happened.
And it's an encouragement, you know, to me, because I have. It's an encouragement in the sense that, you know, I've seen you and Paul Muller over here go through this and that through time and come out on top. And Ricky, for that matter. I mean, as you stay in the fellowship, you see people over you, people that you hold in some regard, they do a little better, do maybe not as well. That's an encouraging thing. Because I got a lot of not doing as well, you know, but it doesn't have to stay that way.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we have the same access. We have the same Father. We have the same Spirit. We have the same faith. We have everything's available to us.
And we have each other.
And absolutely. I mean, so praise the Lord. We are not left, once again, kind of starting back room. We are not left comfortless, and we're not left with no direction. He's given us everything we need.
All right.
Let's just go receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Time to wrap. So thank you for joining us this week for the Hour of Truth. And say goodbye, guys.
Bye, y'all. May the Lord bless.
Bye, everybody.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.